KFYO, good morning. 7:39. Collins Mack, Randy Nagabara on the line. Welcome to the program, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Tom? Laura, good to talk to you this morning.
Doing pretty good. I'm okay. Laura, I think is feeling much, much better.
I'm doing a little better
good.
This week. Yeah.
Than she has been.
That's very good news.
All right. In the middle of all the minutia that's going on Capitol Hill, we've got a Farm Bill conference that's going to be...
starting Wednesday.
Yeah. What are you looking at there? What are you saying is actually going to happen? What is going to come out of this first meeting?
Well, I think with the meeting Wednesday will be an opportunity for all of the members of the conference committee to kind of give what we call an opening statement. In other words, that's their viewpoint of, you know, where we are, where we're going, where we need to get. And so I think what we'll get to hear from both the Senate side, the House side, the Democrats and Republicans is what everybody hopes to accomplish in this farm bill. You know, from my perspective, what I want to accomplish is, one, we need to get a five-year farm bill for our producers. This year-to-year extension is not the right way to do that. We also need to get the reforms that are necessary to make sure that we're being good stewards of the taxpayers' money. And then thirdly, and more importantly for people in my district and the farmers and ranchers, is getting a solid five-year safety net that's market-based and increases and enhances crop insurance.
Excuse me. those are all very good points, but a lot of people, I think, are concerned with the farm bill. Are we going to try and realistically keep food stamps, the SNAP program, and the farm bill separated, or is it still going to be commingled, do you think?
Well, I think that's one of the issues that will be worked out. I think one of the things that's currently being pending in the farm bill is that the food stamps, if they were together, that they would be mature at different times. And so they may be considered together, but, for example, the reauthorization of the food stamps could only be 3 years, whereas the farm bill could be 5 years. We'll just have to see how that all plays out. But, Tom, you've made a very good point, and that's probably one of the more contentious parts of the farm bill, because in the past, these two have been married together. The question is, will they stay married or will there be a divorce in this farm bill?
Well, the reason they were together was to get urban lawmakers to vote for rural programs in the first place. If the SNAP program is not attached to the farm bill, how can we get urban lawmakers to vote for rural programs?
Well, Laura, that's one of the issues. And what we found, though, was kind of interesting. For the first time in the history of the program, this year it passed in separate bills in the House, and in the Senate it passed as together. So in the House it did pass together. In the Senate it did. What we don't know is if that could, you know, be duplicated in the Senate. And so once you get the conference committee report, then obviously that report has to go back to the Senate, has to go back to the House. And I think we'll probably hear from some of the senators, possibly, that they're saying that they can't pass a farm bill in the Senate that's got food stamps detached from it.
Hey, Randy, we're going to take a break just for a moment. Talking with Congressman Randy Nagabara, farm bill, food stamps, oh snap. We'll be back, 7:42. KFYO 7:47, Tom and Laura, good morning. Congressman Randy Nagabara on the line. Randy, welcome back to the program again. Talking about farm bill and food stamps. One of the things that I wanted to ask you was, there's been a lot of conjecture and a lot of information. It's kind of hard to follow, relatively speaking, because of the overshadowing of the Affordable Care Act, which is yet to be determined. But relative food stamps and regulations, what are some of the newer things that have been put in place to reduce fraud or shrinkage?
So in this bill, Tom, the couple of things. One is, just because you were qualified for one entitlement program, some of those put you automatically on food stamps, whether you met the asset or the income qualifications or not. And so that's one, for example, LIHEAP, which is a heating benefit. So if the state paid you like $1 or $2 in LIHEAP benefits, it qualified you to be fully eligible for food stamps. And so this is one area. For you, that another area where we were paying states bonuses to sign people up with food stamps. And so if I'm a person that's taking applications for food stamps and my compensation, I can get a bonus if I sign you up. You know, I might not be as careful about, you know, making sure that you qualify for those benefits as I would if I wasn't getting a bonus. And so what I think one of the things that a lot of people are trying to do, and I think it's particularly, you know, folks unfortunately on the more liberal side of the agenda, is they're trying to say that we're trying to take food away from children and mothers and babies, and that's not the case. What we're trying to do is make sure that people that are getting these benefits, which is paid for by the taxpayers, actually qualify for them. But it does not reduce the amount of benefits $1, but it does make sure that people qualify.
Well, to me, that makes sense because, you know, if you shoot the arrow at the target, you darn sure want to hit it. Now, you know, there's an argument about, you know, drug testing and things like that. Relatively speaking, if you're going to get the benefits, then, you know, you shouldn't be using. Is that still on the plate out there? And my feeling is this, is because if people are using and they're getting this stuff, chances are the kids aren't getting it anyway.
Well, that's a good point. And I think there's another thing about that, Tom, is that a lot of people can't get jobs today. You know, I hear this from a number of employers who say, you know what, if all the people that applied for jobs at my company could pass drug tests, I wouldn't have any job openings right now. But I hear a number of companies say we're having trouble filling these jobs because people aren't passing drug tests. So then they're unemployed, and then that puts them on unemployment, that puts them on food stamps, it puts them on housing assistance. And so by allowing people to have these drug habits, we're actually, the taxpayers are subsidizing their drug habits, and that's not good for that individual, and it's certainly not good for the taxpayers. And so drug testing for these entitlement benefits, I think is something that we should look into. And what this bill does is allow states to implement work programs and drug testing programs if they think that's appropriate.
I don't know just exactly how to answer or solve all of these problems. You know, I have some opinions about it. All I know is that if we don't put some, you know, multi-level, if we don't put multiple things in place to create, you know, hurdles of abuse or hurdles for abusers of the system, that it's just going to continue to kind of spiral out of control. I mean, what are the actual figures from actually X number of years ago? I mean, last I heard it was like 47 million plus more people are on food stamps than were several years ago.
Well, it's almost doubled in the last 4.5 years, Tom. And so today, and this is a staggering number, but 1 in 7 Americans are on food stamps. And that just is a unbelievable number. You know, we need for, you know, America is a very benevolent country. We believe in taking care of our neighbor, but we also believe in taking care of our neighbor when our neighbor is trying to take care of themselves. And so what we've done in a number of these programs is, unfortunately, we've got multi-generation families that have been on these benefits. And, you know, what the best thing that we can do for someone that's on food stamps or unemployment is help them get a good paying job. And so I think what has to happen down the road is we're going to have to shift our emphasis on, instead of, you know, keep expanding these entitlement programs, is moving these people to being able to work and have a good paying job and the self-respect that comes from being self-sufficient.
Hey, Randy, we're going to cut away. You'll be back in a couple of minutes. It's 7:52. Good morning. KFYO at 7:55 with Collins and Mack. Good morning. Here's Congressman Randy Neugebauer on the line again. Let's shift gears, Congressman. We'll talk about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Kathleen Sebelius kind of swinging through Texas in the last few days, you know, trying to do a little bit of damage control. Bottom line is if you're looking to get on to the website, don't be fooled, because there are a lot of imposters out there, people trying to harvest information. And now one of the big concerns is experts say that the actual system that is in place is not even secure.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is just a nightmare, Tom. And what we, you know, they're eventually going to fix all these glitches. I think the real question is why they weren't prepared and knew this was being rolled out. And so eventually they're going to, you know, probably get some smart techie people to get in here. The real story, though, and I think this glitches in the computer covers up the real family stories that we've been receiving in our office. For example, Jenna from Lubbock said that she was on a $100 a month plan. She got a letter, said that plan will no longer be offered, and the only comparable plan she says she's now eligible for is $250 a month. Then there's Paula over in Slayton, who is covered by a Texas plan for people with pre-existing conditions, but will not enter into the exchange in 2014. And so her premiums are going to be for less coverage and higher, almost $150 more expensive under the new system. And so I think one of the things that this was named the Affordable Care Act, all of the feedback we're getting is that none of this is affordable, and this is a real problem for a lot of these families.
Well, I think one of the big foobars on this whole thing is that there was an assumption made that everybody was going to play. And in order for it to be affordable, everybody has to play. But the thing is how can you... I just don't see how you can implement that and just create an economy and create a system up front like that. I don't see how that can work.
Well, I think that's what we're seeing, Tom, and I think one of the things that a lot of people feel like is this thing is going to eventually crash and burn. The problem is it's going to do a lot of damage along the way, and we're already seeing people's premiums increase, employers having to reduce the benefits that they're paying for their employees, and a system that is just, you know, it's been put together helter-skelter, no organization. And, you know, quite honestly, it's causing a lot of havoc in the healthcare industry right now.
Well, Congressman, we're about out of time. Thanks for being with us this morning. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Y'all have a great week.
You bet.